Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on excitotoxins when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong, very wrong, with the Ten Commandments, because they've been banned from our public schools, they've been banned from our public institutions, and now they're banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these 10 simple, time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place, and they're teaching these 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our schools, our public institutions. We've now made them a part of our national psyche. Now, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years. Are you aware, for instance, your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but she can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent? Now, that's why I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments. They even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's still one school left in America that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits that we all receive for their observance. Now, every law has a penalty. You don't have to know what the penalty to a law is to suffer from its effect. So whether you call that the Mosaic Law, the law of God, the common law, natural law, or karma, or something else, it's automatic. It works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which are the natural penalties for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package first. That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call right now and order one. The number to call, 417-273-4967. If you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email, send us an email request for your free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we have been talking this week about excitotoxins. They take many forms. The two most common forms of excitotoxins, MSG, that's monosodium glutamate, and aspartame, or aspartate, as it's called, and it comes in a product called aspartame, or artificial sugar, NutraSweet, etc. You know, you're sitting down in a restaurant and you got a sugar bowl over here, and you know, you'll have white sugar packets, and then you'll have these NutraSweet and these artificial sweeteners. Those are killers. And the Food and Drug Administration knows it, and so does the Congress. They've all received the testimony, but they're not doing anything about it because there's money to be made in these excitotoxins, and besides that, they taste good, and you people all want them, which is the purpose for this week's report. The report is that they're going to kill you. I don't tell people how much soda pop to drink. I just report that your body can digest and eliminate 3 teaspoons of sugar in a 24-hour period. That's refined sugar, 3 teaspoons. A 12-ounce can of soda pop contains 9 teaspoons. That's 1 soda pop. That's 3 days to get rid of it out of your body. And I reported to you that diabetes doubled in the past 20 years, right along with the doubling of the consumption of soda pop. That's what we call evidence. But it's not direct evidence. It's circumstantial evidence. But you know, when you put 3 or 4 pieces of circumstantial evidence together, pretty soon we can arrive at a conclusion. Now, I might not be able to convict you on circumstantial evidence, but I certainly ought to be able to persuade you to err on the side of caution rather than reckless behavior. And so in the case of excitotoxins, I think I've presented enough evidence here to convict you in court. But even if you were to say, well, yeah, I can see that you've got some good evidence, but I'm not fully persuaded beyond a reasonable doubt, which is fine. I'm not here to prove that I'm right and you're wrong. I'm just here to deliver information. So in this final and concluding chapter to the drama that we have been unfolding this week, we come to the conclusion. What are you going to do about it? Because if you don't have a solution, you don't need to know what the problem is. What in the hell good is a problem without a solution? Now, there is a solution to the excitotoxin problem, and it's nutrition. Now, disease comes in 2 forms. Now, we can poison you. I mean, I can kill you with arsenic. But I can also cure you if I have an antidote to the arsenic. And so activated charcoal is the antidote to arsenic, and it was first demonstrated by a French chemist back in 1803 or 4, something like that, or 5. And he took 3 grams of arsenic. That's more than enough to kill you, probably kill a horse. And then he followed that up with massive doses. Now, I don't know how much a massive dose is. I'm just reporting the report was massive doses of activated charcoal with no ill effects. Didn't even puke, didn't even get sick. And that's because charcoal will absorb 60,000 times its own weight in toxins. And so toxic residue or toxins are a major cause of illness and disease. You know, when you get poisoned, it makes you sick, gives you symptoms. The second is starvation. Nutritional deficiency causes disease. We see that in a number of cases like rickets and beriberi. And they used to call people, you know, English sailors, limeys, because they would get scurvy if they didn't have vitamin C. So if you get scurvy, the solution to your scurvy problem is vitamin C. You know, you get rickets, and I've forgotten now that it's vitamin D, vitamin A maybe. So we see a symptom, and we say, okay, the guy is suffering from a starvation. He's got a nutritional deficiency, and so therefore what we're going to do is we're going to give him this particular kind of food, which is rich in that particular kind of vitamin or mineral or amino acid or something, a nutrient that your body needs. And then the symptoms go away. That's simple enough. That doesn't take rocket science. Now, disease then comes in just 2 forms. You're either poisoned, or you're starved, or a combination of the two. Well, when we're talking about these neurotransmitter diseases, neurologic diseases, we find that the primary culprit is toxin. It's MSG, excitotoxin. It's a poison. If you just eliminate the poison, your body itself will probably rejuvenate itself and recover. But there's a more important body of information available, and that is there some kind of nutrients or foods that we could be eating or taking at the same time which would help rejuvenate or to protect what's left? And the answer to that is yes. And in this section of the book, which is called The Update and Analysis, which draws upon the conclusion to the whole matter, Dr. Blaylock spends a lot of time going through a number of foods and food additives that you can take. Now, most people are not going to take action in advance of the absolute necessity to do so. And while it would make more sense, it would be more intelligent, it would be wiser for you to stop poisoning yourselves, you're not going to do that in all probability. And what's going to happen is, well, that guy Gordon, he's interesting, and I'll keep that in mind. Then one of these days you'll get in your car and you'll start driving home and can't remember how to get there. And at that point, you'll get an evaluation, and you'll get a diagnosis and a prognosis, and it'll say you've got Alzheimer's disease, which means that you've killed 50% of the cells, the brain cells, in that area of your brain. Now, in most cases, people just continue right on exacerbating the problem by eating the MSG and the aspartame, and then they degenerate and finally die from Alzheimer's disease, which is what President Reagan did. Now, if you can remember this, and you might not be able to remember it, because remember, when you have Alzheimer's disease, you can't remember. So you probably won't remember this, but I'm going to tell you the answer anyway. And that is, if you could get onto a regimen of nutrition and stop the ingestion of the poison, you could probably arrest the Alzheimer's disease right where it's at. And you might be able to live most of the rest of your life virtually free from the symptoms of Alzheimer's if you could just stop it. Now, that means that you're going to have to stop the ingestion of all of the MSG, which is nigh on to impossible. That's why I said I think I'll do it right now, way up front of the power curve, because I can't eliminate all of it. But if I get rid of most of it, I can get rid of most of the deterioration of my brain, and it'll help me in the end, you know, 10, 20 years from now. So, Dr. Blaylock, and I want to remind you again that this is called Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, by Dr. Russell Blaylock. You can get a copy at your local bookstore. It's 10 years old, published in 1997. And then in the section here on update and analysis, and he points out some very important factual information concerning the conclusion to the whole matter. And he suggests a number of nutrients. I'm trying to find the page here for the conclusion. And just be patient with me. I'm old and slow. Can't remember what page it was. No pun intended, here's conclusion. In the introduction, I stated that the purpose of this book was to point out to the reader some of the dangers of excitotoxins, especially those added to our food and drink as taste enhancers and sweeteners. So we've seen that excitotoxins can have a devastating effect on the nervous system throughout all of its stages of development, from embryo to adult. But of primary concern is the effect of these powerful brain cell stimulants and their effect on the developing brain of an infant and child and the later development in the adult of neurodegenerative diseases such as Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, Huntington's, and ALS. The brain not only utilizes the excitatory amino acids as normal neurotransmitters, but there exists a delicate balance of excitatory and inhibitory chemicals in the brain. And when this balance is upset, serious disorders of the nervous system can result. When MSG was first being added to our food as a taste-enhancing substance, glutamate receptors had not been discovered, and no one knew what excess glutamate or that excess glutamate could cause brain cell death. The food industry invested millions of dollars in developing the use of MSG and hydrolyzed protein, but it was only after tons of these taste enhancers were being added to our foods and beverages that scientists had their first hint that excitotoxins carried a serious side effect. Now, unfortunately, this discovery remained buried in the medical research literature for more than a decade before someone recognized the danger. And as we have seen, this toxic compound was being added in large doses to foods given to newborns and small infants, despite the fact that it had been demonstrated that it was the developing brain that was most vulnerable to these toxic side effects of excitatory amino acids. They were so toxic, in fact, that researchers renamed them excitotoxins. Abundant research had demonstrated that these excitotoxins not only damaged the cells of the retina of the eye, but also that they were extremely toxic to the nerve cells in the hypothalamus and other vital areas of the brain. So it's important to appreciate that many of the toxic effects of excitotoxins occur at a time when no outward symptoms develop. The child does not become sick or throw up or have any behavior that would alarm the parents that something may be wrong. When toxic doses of MSG are given to baby animals, they continue to act in an entirely normal way. But when their brains are examined microscopically, vital groups of neurons are found to be permanently destroyed in the hypothalamus. This has been referred to as a silent brain lesion. Such silent lesions are frequently seen in neurology and neurosurgery practices. And it's also important to remember that following MSG ingestion, humans concentrate glutamate 20 times higher in their blood than do monkeys and 5 times higher than do mice. Humans may be 5 times more vulnerable to MSG toxicity than are the mice. The most sensitive animal known to this type of brain injury is a mouse. Now, not only do humans concentrate glutamate to a much greater degree than mice, but it remains at an elevated level in the blood for much longer periods of time, exposing the unprotected portions of your brain to some very toxic levels. Now, what makes all of this so disturbing in the case of children is that the damage done at the time of initial exposure produces no obvious outward effects. Now, when the animal or person reaches a later stage of development, say adolescence or adulthood, the damage may present itself as an endocrine disorder or even possibly a learning disorder, such as autism, attention deficit disorder, or dyslexia, or emotion control disorder, such as violent episodes, schizophrenia, paranoia. And hundreds of millions of infants and young children are at great risk, and their parents aren't even aware of it. It was only through the diligent efforts of Dr. John Olney that the food industry was forced to halt the obvious use of excitotoxin food additives in baby foods. But, as we have seen, no one warned pregnant mothers that the MSG-laced food that they were eating could endanger the developing babies still in their wombs. And more excitotoxin taste enhancers were being added to adult foods and even toddler foods all the time. And again, this was despite the rapid accumulation of research data demonstrating that these previously known dangers and even new dangers associated with using excitotoxins in food. But by this time, MSG was not only being added to virtually every processed food, it was also being promoted in cookbook recipes as well. In the 60s, it was being sold in food stores in powdered form for this very purpose. Then a whole generation had been and continues to be exposed to very high doses of these excitotoxins. In 1969, James Schlatter, a bench biochemist working with a compound called aspartame as a possible cure for stomach ulcers, happened to lick his thumb while turning a page in his notebook, and he was struck by the intense sweetness of the chemical that had inadvertently covered his thumb. Now, from this serendipitous discovery, a business that would reap $736 million in sales for the NutraSweet Company in 1988 alone, by 1989, G.D. Searle & Company, the manufacturer of NutraSweet, had reached a profitability that put it ninth on the Fortune 500 list. Now, despite concerns over the safety of this new sweetener, including brain tumor induction and experimental animal seizures, precipitation of headaches, and an abusive effect on the developing brain, the FDA approved its use as an artificial sweetener, and sales began to grow immediately. The NutraSweet company spent over $60 million on advertising alone during its first 3 years. All right, so NutraSweet is a product that makes a lot of money. It's an artificial sweetener, and it satisfies the needs of people who want to diet. It does not help people diet. It causes weight gain. In addition to that, NutraSweet, or aspartame as it's called, has 92 symptoms associated with it. Some of them produce death. It's an excitotoxin, a deadly poison, and ought to be banned. It isn't, it hasn't, and it won't be. So if you don't want to ingest it, then it's up to you to avoid it. You can forget about being protected by the Food and Drug Administration, or the Department of Agriculture, or by the Congress. These institutions have not protected you in the past 20 years. They are not protecting you today. So what makes you think they're going to protect you in the next 20 years? I think it's wishful thinking if you think that the FDA is going to ban these substances. They haven't yet, they aren't now, and they're not going to. And that's because there's too much money involved at this juncture of time. So we find in the real world that when a new product hits the market, whether it's the automobile back in 1900, or whether it's an aspartame or NutraSweet or MSG, once these products are introduced to the public and industries are built up around them and they make a lot of money, there isn't any going back. Nobody's going to take it off the market. Now, NutraSweet hit the market at just the right time. Americans had become weight conscious and were looking for a sugar substitute. And it replaced the recently outlawed Cyclamate. And soon it surpassed saccharin in sales. In fact, NutraSweet played a large role in making the soft drink business one of the fastest growing businesses in what had been a stagnant enterprise. Americans were guzzling diet colas under the mistaken belief that sugar consumption was the primary cause of obesity. But they were unaware of the serious health effects of excess aspartate consumption. MSG had come under criticism periodically from various members of the medical profession and the research community and some consumer advocates. But by then, the excitotoxin taste-enhancing business had become a multi-billion-dollar-a-year enterprise. The Ajinomoto company, the primary manufacturer of MSG and hydrolyzed vegetable protein, in conjunction with a dozen American food manufacturers, decided to protect their interests by forming a powerful public relations firm known as the Glutamate Association. The number one contributor to this attack group was the Ajinomoto Company of Japan. I might pause here and say, gee, I wonder why this Japanese corporation would fund an organization to lobby Congress on behalf of MSG, NutraSweet, and other excitotoxins. Well, it's because they have a financial interest and a financial motive to do that. Now, along comes George Gordon, and I don't have the same financial motive. I'm not going to make $1 billion this year by banning these products from the marketplace. I'm not going to get paid anything one way or the other. So this is why you're not going to find very much in the way of opposition. There's a book or two being written. There's some research being done. But there isn't any active promotion of opposition to MSG because the makers of MSG are very vocal. They put their money where their mouth is when it comes to elections and politicians. You and I don't. So for that reason, politicians who are reaping hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars in campaign contributions, have a financial motive in promoting these excitotoxins in the same way that the manufacturers have a financial motive. And as long as there's a motive, financial motive especially, they're going to continue. And you and I aren't going to stop them. So what we're going to do is we're going to stop it as it relates to us. Just me, George Gordon, is going to stop eating MSG. You can do the same thing. And while we won't eliminate it 100% from our diet, we'll get 90% of it out. This will take us down to a level where our bodies can probably handle it. And then, you know, time goes on, life goes on, and we probably can avoid the three major diseases associated with it. Now, the purpose of this group, now remember, this is a group of lobbyists on behalf of the MSG industry. The purpose of this group was not only to defend and promote the use of MSG and other taste enhancers, but to attack anyone who dared to point out the adverse health effects of MSG. And this is what promotes attacks. You know, if you're trying to protect something, the best defense is a better offense. And so this trade group, selling thousands of tons, making billions of dollars, has the resources to put advertising out in Reader's Digest, Time and Look magazine, and advertise over television and radio and tell you that anybody who's opposed to this is uninformed, they're not scientific, and they're a bunch of dunderheads. And it works. I don't deny that. Hell, that propaganda works like a shot. Adolf Hitler demonstrated it for years. The communists have demonstrated that incessant lying and propaganda will persuade the majority of people And it does, it has, it is, and it will continue to. But you know, there's always a little small group of people over here that just aren't impressed. As old Abe Lincoln made this observation, says you can fool some of the people some of the time, and you can, or I guess you can fool some of the people some of the time, and all the people some of the time, or some of the people all the time, and some combination thereof, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. And then some people are going to slip through the cracks. Blaylock here is one of them. He says, hey, wait a minute, I've done some research on this. This stuff's a deadly toxin. I'm going to avoid it like AIDS, herpes, and VD. We do this with public school. For instance, you know, you take a look at your public school system. The public school system and the product that they turn out, you know, just to take a number here, homeschool children academically do the best, and they score at the 88th percentile. Parochial school children are second, and they score at the 80th percentile. Public school children are the poorest. They score at the 50th percentile, unless they go to an inner-city school like Cleveland, Philadelphia, or Los Angeles, where they score at the 28th percentile. So Johnny can't read, he can't write, he can't think, he's totally indoctrinated or dissatisfied. We complain, our politicians come up with no child left behind. That's the current propaganda. Before that, the Clinton people over here, they had a program. I've forgotten what it is now, but it was something about Global 2000. And then before that, there was another program, and before that, and before that, and before that. Now, when you go back to 1895, we didn't have any of these government programs, and Johnny could read, Johnny could write, and Johnny could do his arithmetic. We didn't have any problem. And then they tell us that the solution to the problem of Johnny can't read is to throw more money at it. So we Americans spend $7,000 on average per student here in the country. It's a little more than that now. We spend $14,000 per student on average in the big inner cities, twice as much money. And in some school districts, they spend as much as $21,000, three times as much money. And we find that the more money we spend, the dumber Johnny gets. So if your $21,000 is good, $42,000 ought to be twice as good, and you'll find that Johnny and the academic skills and abilities in the public school sector over here will get poorer and poorer as you spend more and more money on it. The more money you spend on public education, the poorer the academic results will be. And I can predicate that upon the past. The more money we've spent on public education, the poorer the results have become, are now, and will continue into the future, because that's the demonstrated fact. The people that spend the least amount of money on education are the homeschoolers, which averages only $542 a year, and they score at the 88th percentile. If you want your kid dumb, send him to public school. It's a guaranteed winner. History proves its efficacy. It's a no-brainer. If you want your kid to learn how to read and write, you educate him at home or in parochial school. That's what the demonstrated results are. Where you spend the least amount of money and spend the least amount of resources, you get the greatest academic benefit, which demonstrates that the propaganda that we have all swallowed for the last 50 or 75 years, that the problem with public education is the class size is too big and we're not spending enough money. So we've decreased the class size, spent more money, and we got poorer results. Right. Now, we bought into it. That's where we're at. And there isn't any likelihood that the majority of people are going to make any meaningful change. We're going to continue to spend more money, and we'll get poorer results. Now, some people woke up to that fact, and they jerk their kids out of the public schools and educate them at home. And then they get better academic performance. In fact, it goes from 50 to 88, just like it does nationwide, on average, with home schooling. Now, the same thing is true with what we're dealing with here with these excitotoxins. The majority of people are going to be persuaded by the propaganda. And then they will suffer the consequences of it. That's just the way life is. Broken laws result in penalties. And now a few people will pick up on that and they'll say, oh my God, I think I'll make a change. If you make the change, it'll have a decided benefit. That's the history of it, and I think that that's what you'll see if you do it. Okay, let me give you a reminder here at the halfway point that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet every day. For more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It's open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to the homeschooling site on our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and that can also be accessed at the website, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. Remember, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we endorse and recommend will reciprocate. Most of these authors and publications that we cite on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoint is not necessarily totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. However, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you do hear on this program are mine, and they're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. We're reviewing the book, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, by Russell Blaylock. We're zeroing in on the conclusion, which tells us that there's a solution to the problem. Number one, you need to feed your brain food. That's vitamins and minerals, and I'll get into that in a minute. And you need to stop poisoning yourself. That is, stop the ingesting or the ingestment of MSG, excitotoxins, and in particular, the MSG and its cousin, aspartate. All right, now he's got a little something to say here in the update section. That's chapter 8, where he talks about pharmaceutical agents and nutrients. Nutritional protection is a section. He says the area of nutritional protection is a wide open field. Unfortunately, the pharmaceutical industry has very little interest in this area, since many of these useful compounds cannot be patented, as they are found commonly in nature. In general, besides reducing the concentration of excitotoxins themselves, there are three major areas in which nutritional supplements may help in preventing damage by excitotoxins. First of all, reducing the production of bad, oh my God, eicosanoids. Is that eicosanoids? Eicosanoids. Number two, reducing free radical damage, and three, improving energy production. And he points out that there are a number of foods over here, including lecithin, which you can buy in a health food store, lecithin, and a number of others. It isn't just lecithin, but, you know, there's things in here to get rid of. Omega-3 fatty acids is a good thing to ingest. The effects of aging on the brain are affected by free radicals. You ought to get rid of those. Damage to the mitochondrial DNA affects only the involved mitochondria, not the genetics of the cell itself. Single antioxidant vitamins versus multiple vitamins. Protecting our neurons from free radicals. CoQ10, L-cysteine, and N-acetyl L-cysteine enters the cell and is converted to glutathione, probably glutathione, a powerful antioxidant enzyme. Now, there's a whole chapter here that deals with the nutrition that is associated with stopping this Alzheimer's dead in its tracks. Now, I think that's good news. There's another book up here. It's put out by a guy by the name of Joel Wallach, called Rare Earths. Joel Wallach is another pioneer in this kind of research, and he points out that it's a nutritional deficiency that is one of the primary culprits here in Alzheimer's disease. He's got a chapter in Rare Earths on Alzheimer's also, and excitotoxins. And he points out essentially the same thing here, and he puts out, and is motivated by money also, he puts out a vitamin and mineral supplement regimen or program. I'm not here to recommend Joel Wallach's program over anybody else's. Hell, Fred Flintstone and Flintstone vitamins are probably as good as, or maybe better than. I don't know. I'm not a vitamin salesman. I can't tell you. I take supplements myself. And I'm an advocate of supplements because the nutritional quality of the foods that we're buying, particularly the nutritional quality of packaged foods, is just abysmal. I mean, you might as well eat baled straw as to eat the crap that goes on the shelf over here called cornflakes or shredded wheat or these breakfast cereals. They're just about as useless as the proverbial tit on a boar hog. But, you know, that's what you people want to eat. And quite frankly, it tastes good. I kind of avoid them. I'll tell you what I eat. I eat things like oats, you know, cooked oats, and raisins. You know, I'll put raisins in the cooked oats or cream of wheat. Whole grain cereals cooked, you know, and then you put on whole raw milk, honey, you know, honey that hasn't been boiled. I mean, there's good foods out there, and some of us try to eat more and more good foods. Juices are good for you. If you could drink a glass of carrot juice every day, for instance, you know, there's people that have a pretty sound regimen. I was out in Reno a time or two, and they've got a store out there called Wild Oats down on South Wells, I believe it is, or State or Wells or something like that, close to Wells. Virginia, I guess it's on Virginia. It's on 395, Highway 395, south end of Reno, Wild Oats, and they got a juice bar in there. And boys and girls, you know, if you use organic fruits and vegetables and you juice them, you can get more vitamins and minerals in a glass of carrot juice than you can by eating 5 pounds or eating the raw carrots. And the reason is because there's so much fiber in the carrots or in the celery or in the fruits and vegetables that you can't get as much as you need. And so when I'm in Reno, for that matter, shucks, when I get to any big city where they've got a juice bar, I like to avail myself of the juice bar because I've got a juicer here, and we recommend that here at the law school. We tell our students when we're dealing with health, get a juicer. And you're going to find that if you'll get a juicer and drink raw juices, now you should get organic produce to go into your juicer, raw organic produce. Cost you a little bit more, but it's better stuff. You get what you pay for. And then you're going to find that you can actually rebuild cells. I mean, you can take nutrients into your body that'll keep your body functioning at the highest possible level. Now, if you'll do that, and if you'll concentrate on health and health foods, you can drop your health insurance program and take that $10,000 to $15,000 a year you're spending on health insurance and spend it on food, and I think you'll do better. We do here. We don't have health insurance, don't advocate it, and we spend the money on food. And then there's a step, one more step you can take. Why don't you get the hell out of the city? Find yourself a little piece of ground someplace where you can grow your own. And then produce your own organic fruits, vegetables, meat, milk, butter, eggs. And it'll be a lifestyle that's going to be a lot healthier for you. Now, of course, most people aren't going to do that. And as I pointed out, what they'll do is they'll wait until they can't remember how to get home, and then they'll all of a sudden find out, hey, you got Alzheimer's disease. If President Reagan, the day he was told you have Alzheimer's disease, had started on this regimen, he probably would be dead today, but he would have been dead with at least half of his mental capacity left rather than zero. Now, when half of your brain cells are gone, then about half of your mental capacity is gone. That's a bad time to start on your health food regimen, but better late than never. So if you've got somebody that's got Alzheimer's disease and you want to arrest the disease where it is, has progressed to, I don't think anybody is telling us that we can regenerate it. I haven't heard any stories along that line. But there are a lot of stories out here about people being able to arrest it where it is. And I know the drug companies, they're just working their hearts out coming up with the drug. I think you'll wait until hell freezes over first, waiting for a drug. I think that the problem is nutritional to start with. And if you'll concentrate on nutrition, I think that you'll be miles ahead. But, you know, do what you got to do. All right, now, in the update and analysis, there's a thing in here called acetyl L-carotene. This compound is a derivative of L-carotene, or carnitine. It's a natural biochemical component of all cells. It differs in that it enters the cell easier and provides an acetyl group for the production of the neurotransmitter acetylcholine. In fact, acetyl L-carnitine has neurotransmitter properties much like, and on it goes. I mean, this guy uses words. I guess maybe there's no other word to be used here. I bet you know when you're a plumber, you can't pronounce these big words. So you'll have to excuse me. That's what a plumber does. I can pronounce big words when it comes to pipes and fittings. All right. Now, the bottom line to this is health food stores, they carry these kinds of foods and food additive products. Health food stores. So here you are. You've got Alzheimer's or you've got Lou Gehrig's disease. They came to you, gave you the bad news. If you continue on poisoning yourself, your body's defenses, your body's muscles will deteriorate. And then you will be engulfed in Parkinson's or ALS, and you'll suffer the penalty of it. If you want to arrest it where it's at, then you have to stop poisoning yourself and start feeding your body so that what's left of your body can still function. And it's 10 times harder. Let me tell you this from personal experience. Once you get in the habit of eating Oreo cookies and drinking pasteurized milk, it's god-awful hard to break that habit. I know. I did it. It's not impossible. Once you get in the habit of smoking cigarettes, it's just god-awful hard to quit. Once you get in the habit of drinking alcohol, and especially if you're an alcoholic or you have a chemical dependence personality, it's just got awful hard to get off of. It ain't impossible. I know a lot of alcoholics and a lot of smokers and, you know, a lot of food junkies that have gotten off of it. But I want to tell you from my own personal experience, it ain't easy. It's a whole lot easier to avoid it than it is to change it. And we've had people come here, you know, with cancer, and they'll say, well, I got cancer, and their body energy is at a high level, but they cannot give up cigarettes. Kids, the cigarettes and the nicotine is a deadly poison, and that's what's causing your cancer. And if you continue to take the nicotine into your body, then your defense mechanism, that's your body's defense, it is your immune system, is just struggling constantly trying to get rid of the nicotine. It can never heal the cells. It can never heal the body. It can never get rid of the tumor. You can kill the tumor, and then your body can't get rid of it. It plugs up your lymph system, and you die from something else. Cancer is relatively easy to cure. These neurotransmitter diseases are not. And you're not going to cure them. You're not going to get back to your original state of health. The best you can do is to arrest it and hold it where it's at. So in these neurotransmitter diseases now, the only logical solution is stop now, prevent the deterioration so that you never get the symptom. That's the only logical, intelligent, rational course of action. Now, that doesn't mean that people are going to be rational or take that intelligent course of action. I know from personal experience it probably isn't going to happen. So your next best bet then, as rapidly as possible, as soon as you get the diagnosis, that ought to wake you up. And if it doesn't, just continue on and die. That's the next solution. But if you can wake up at that point and you can stop the Oreo cookies and the pasteurized milk and so on, and get on good, wholesome, nutritious food, you can arrest it in its tracks. Here are the two books again. It's Rare Earths by Joel Wallach, W-A-L-L-A-C-H, I believe it is. Joel Wallach. I think you can probably buy that again. If you don't have it in your local bookstore, you can get that Rare Earths and Forbidden Cures. It goes on to say Forbidden Cures. Wallach's good at curing these incurable diseases. Really good. You know, your local medical doctor will say, oh my God, this ALS, it's incurable. It's arrestable. It is incurable to the extent we can't ever get you back to where you were. But we can stop it here. Go to Brave New Bookstore in Austin, Texas, and they can get you a copy of that Rare Earths. They can also get you a copy of this book here that I'm reading out of right now called Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills by Russell Blaylock. So don't forget Brave New Bookstore, their phone number 512-480-2503. Now, this may be 5, 10, 15 years from now that it finally dawns on you that, hey, oh my God, I got to take action. Let me give you a little encouragement. People before you have gone through this. You will not be the first guy to come up with ALS and then get on juice and then get on supplements, get off of toxins, and live the rest of your life without going into the full death mode of Lou Gehrig's disease. You won't be the first guy that's done that, if, in fact, you can break the cycle. But I want to caution you again, it's god-awful hard to break the cycle. Many, many students have come here, failed, because they're just too well entrenched in bad eating habits. And you're not going to replace good eating habits. I mean, you're not going to replace your bad eating habits with good eating habits overnight. Tain't going to happen, trooper. Tain't going to happen. Now, there's a little bit more here. There's a thing called taurine, T-A-U-R-I-N-E. And another thing over here called lecithin. Now, this lecithin is a dynamite nutrient. And it's a necessary element, by the way, in your brain function. It's called lecithin. Several experiments have shown that even in normal individuals, lecithin can improve memory. Experiments using this product to treat Alzheimer's patients has met with some minor success. The results are better when lecithin is combined with choline, C-H-O-L-I-N-E. And there's also interest in using lecithin to repair injuries to the insulation of nerves in cases of multiple sclerosis and head injury, for example. Now, I've used lecithin in cases of brain injuries and strokes, and I have seen a significant improvement in these patients' outcomes. And others have reported similar results. Lecithin capsules should be kept in the refrigerator at all times to prevent spoilage, and it also makes them more palatable. Lecithin, while previously all the attention has been given to its biochemical cousin, this phospholipid is being shown to have superior neurological properties when fed to aging animals. It has been shown to significantly improve their passive, active, avoidance reaction, spatial memory, and other learning and memory tasks. In a recent study involving men 50 years or older suffering from serious memory loss not caused by Alzheimer's disease, it was found that giving 300 milligrams of, and they got the scientific name here, it's a phosphatidylserine a day for 3 months significantly improved their memory function as measured by an extensive battery of tests. Now, I'm not going to get into all these technicalities here. Hell, you don't want to listen to that on radio, but the moral of the story is the book contains the chapter which tells you how to solve it. Now, maybe you're caring for somebody. Maybe you are a relative of somebody who has multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease. Maybe they're in the beginning stages of Parkinson's. Did you know that can be arrested? So if you'd pass that on, now oftentimes people will take information like this and go to their medical doctor and they'll say, well, what do you think of this? And your medical doctor will say, that's nonsense. That's crazy. Okay. But he's got an interest in this also, a financial interest. Because if he's treating your Parkinson's mother-in-law, he gets paid for that. And if, you know, you people go out here and you pick up a book like Blaylock's book and you start treating your mother-in-law with nutrients, and you can arrest the disease oven by itself. And if you can treat it, you know, cheaply with nutrients instead of expensive drugs, well, then you're probably going to stop going to the doctor. Again, you will have a financial interest in the outcome of this event. And so, you know, it's whose advice do you want to take? So I'm not here to tell you not to go to your doctor. You know, people have their druthers in life. And I remember my old granny, God love her. She just loved the doctor. She in her old age, she had an appendicitis or an appendectomy. I'm not sure she had an appendicitis. My old granny was pretty well persuaded that this appendix was they call it a vestibular organ. And she went and she had it removed. And she said she had to do this and she had to do that. She was under doctor's orders. It sounded like she was a buck private, you know, who was bucking for corporal and the sergeant's orders. And she just followed his order. She would have followed that doctor to hell and back if he would have led the way. Now, you know, doctors have a place in life, and I'm not telling you that doctors are all bad. I'm just saying that, you know, doctors, like anybody else, they have an interest in the outcome, and it's typically financial. So maybe you ought to be thinking more for yourself and less for the doctor's interest. After all, doctors have boat payments. And a second opinion is always in order when your doctor suggests that you have your appendix removed, tonsils and adenoids, gallbladder. These removals of what they call vestibular organs are typically motivated by upcoming boat, airplane, and house payments. Doctors have those payments just like you and I do. All right, so tuck that away in your heart. Remember, the book now is called Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, Russell L. Blaylock. The second book, Rare Earths by Joel Wallach, both obtainable from bravenewbookstore.com. All right, we're out of time again, boys and girls. That'll about conclude this story. So let me remind you that you have been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Here, time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.